Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
If your business has hit a plateau, these three marketing blind spots might be the reason. And our guest today, Mark Fay, is here to talk about how to fix them. So thanks for joining us today, Mark. We're excited to talk about that.
Great to be with you, Jeannie and Kirsten. Thank you for having me.
We are so excited to have you and learn about these blind spots. But before we do, tell our audience a little bit about you and how you ended up in the business that you're in.
I got backed into the entrepreneurial world. So I was a teacher out of college, coached football and taught English, and it was great for 7-8 years. And then I ended up in pastoral ministry for 7 years, then I ended up in a nonprofit for 7 years, and did a fork in the road. I just finished an MBA feeling like maybe I needed to retool, and ended up leading the marketing for a software company that grew very quickly from 8 million to 16 to 31 million over 24 months. And I took a little team of 1.5 marketers to about 16 or 17. So it was white knuckle, hold on for dear life, and VC capital and all of that. So then from there, I went and did head of marketing at a financial advisory firm. And kind of the same thing where, you know, growth had stalled. And so we built up a lot of productive digital channels. And kind of out of that experience, when I left that job, I thought, okay, let me give this marketing and business coaching a run, and I'll do that until I find my next assignment, my next job. And 8 years later, I'm still with my own business. So it's been great. Lots of ups and downs, as your audience knows, but wouldn't trade it.
So you shifted the 8 years for the 7 years this time.
I know. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Hopefully, I know when I get to that point, I think, okay, where's the change coming? Getting through it is okay. I think we can keep going here.
I feel like business is always evolving and changing. So instead of a 7-year change, you probably feel like you're facing changes every 12 to 24 months, because with AI, with innovation, with automation, with all the things that are changing as business owners, it's keeping us on our toes.
It really is. Even in my own business in the last 24 to 36 months, marketing companies had focused a lot on messaging, which I'm a certified story brand guide with Donald Miller's organization. And that's really about messaging. In the last 24 to 36 months, AI has radically impacted people who are copywriters. We can argue over it or go back and forth. The fact is, this has changed the industry. It's just a very immediate example of the fact that you have to continually be recreating your business, looking on the horizon while you are, of course, attending to your clients' needs every day.
So true. So I'm excited to find out, what do you feel like are some of the blind spots that your clients struggle with on a regular basis?
It's funny, the blind spots that I need help with myself. It's hard for me to develop clarity for myself. It's hard to step outside of my own business and then look in and get that clarity that I would get from that third party, that external observer. So one of the things I do is I just bring clarity where there's confusion, because I think clarity creates capacity. And so whether it's your messaging, StoryBrand has a great model of the hero of the story is your customer, your client, and you are the trusted guide. It's amazing how many times we try to put ourselves as the business owner or the product or service provider as the hero of the story, riding in on a white horse, saving the day with our product or service. And that's not what resonates with our customers. What resonates is when we're the trusted guide and our client is a hero, and what we do is we help them solve the problem they have. We don't solve it for them. So a lot of clarity around messaging comes down to this really basic, but I think very powerful model of storytelling in messaging. I also think, though, it applies to our business. You can't delegate what you can't define. And I think a lot of growth stalls out, not because of a lack of effort or because of even expertise, but a lot of times it's because of blur, because of unclear offers, unclear priorities, unclear processes, too many processes, trying to do too many things for clients. So that's clarity. And the other way I've seen the value I bring to clients, it's been my own challenge as well, is what money do you spend and when? Clarity around how you allocate your resources is critical, and spending the right money at the right time. So sometimes just giving my client the permission to buy the less shiny tool, the good enough tool. And when you use that tool to its capacity, now you can afford, and maybe you actually have to buy the higher price tool that you really wanted right up front. And so now you need the better one. You don't just want it, but you actually need it. I think clarity, you could say, is the oxygen in your systems that you need to breathe. That without that clarity, things just get cloudy. It gets difficult to see day to day where you're going and how you're going to get there.
It's fascinating. We have a friend that says clarity equals velocity.
I love that.
You can't go faster to actually know where the heck you're going
That's
and what you're
exactly
packing
right.
with you.
I'm going to write that one down. That's added to my talking points for that. You can live on that one every day. Exactly right.
It's a good reminder because, again, I think we get so excited about all the things we can do and all the ways we could help people. But at the end of the day, we only have so many hours. And so much energy. So we're better off to focus that energy with clarity to move our businesses along quicker than if we try to scatter our energy because we have so many ideas and so many interests. So I'm sure that sometimes that's like herding cats to get your clients to realize that, yes, you can do 800 things, but why don't we just do two really well and then we can grow on that?
That's right. Yeah. One of the things that I find is it's very simple. Sometimes what we do for our clients is so simple, but it's the thing that they need to be reminded of. And in this idea of clarity and the hero of the story is I just help my clients remember that as the trusted guide, the most important things they have in connecting with their clients is empathy, what it feels to be challenged with that, to be facing that challenge, maybe the frustration, maybe the confusion, you might know just the disappointment or discouragement, whatever that product or service is addressing. But slowing down enough to feel that with your client is critical. And sometimes with messaging, we throw in these phrases, hey, I know what it feels like. But I always say to my clients, wait, slow down. Do you really? Let's stop for a minute here and think about it. How is your client feeling right now? Because that changes the way we engage, then it's not just words on a page, but it's a relationship. I like to say that if you're selling widgets, I'm not really your guy. But if it's about building relationships of trust, then I'm all in because I think that businesses that take care of trust go a long way. And the meaning of what they bring to their clients remains center for them as well.
Yeah, we always tell people, we laugh. We always have trouble with our messaging because we're two very different people. And so we articulate things differently. The core of us and our business is the same. And so sometimes we go off in different directions. And I think the other thing we do sometimes is we get too in the weeds on the features versus the benefits. Because I want to talk about we can do this and this and this when you're just overwhelming someone and you're not actually, like you said, simplifying and clarifying something that's really on their mind and frustrating them right now.
So a lot of times it's not solving the problem, but what you need to bring to them is the confidence that if you take this step, it's going to be the step that leads to the solution. And so that's part of the story brand methodology is this trusted guide has empathy, but also authority. The trusted guide knows how to help the hero of the story get to the solution. But the challenge is how, and it begins with a very simple plan. So even if it's a complicated or difficult problem that needs to be overcome, what the trusted guide gives is a simple plan. Take this step. I'm going to be with you. You will be able to solve this problem. But it's these three things. So that's one of the disciplines on a lot of story brand websites is look, you have to give a plan that's actionable. And so it's step one, step two, step three. Oh, I can do that. And then I'll trust you to guide me through the rest of it. So what you're saying, I think, is dead on.
That's amazing and so true. Once people have clarity, what trips them up after that?
They can become a victim of their own success. So I think when things start happening, you start growing, you start being able to bring more clients in. I think systems, I think the second blind spot is that my clients don't know when to implement systems because systems turn effort into results. And I always say that the time to implement systems is yesterday. It appears I have to feel the pain first before I am convinced that I need to slow down enough to implement a system. And this is a big topic. You could probably do a whole podcast on systems because It is so key to the six-figure business for sure. But I think the main idea of it is this idea of repeatable results. My experience being on your podcast, for example, was really frictionless. It was a great experience. And I know you didn't pick up the phone every time and give me a call personally to make sure I had that experience. You've implemented a system that, in my coming on the call today, you probably noticed I was anxious to be here. I was excited to be here. I felt like I already knew both of you because of the system you have in place. Once you put that heavy lift up front to put it in motion and you've worked out the kinks, then the customer, the client gets to experience that positive. It's really fulfilling your brand promise. And the brand promise is a brand is simply the promise you deliver on every time. Whether it's a customer or a vendor or one of your own staff, you want to be delivering on that same promise in every interaction. So every system has a stage. Some people invest too much too early, but that's where I think I help clients in my world is making the right investment at the right time.
It's funny because when you think about systems, standard operating procedures, and things like that, we joke about how business owners wear a lot of hats. They wear a lot of hats. But what's crazy is when you start a business, you don't even know what some of those hats are. You don't know what's going to be on that hat. And you definitely don't know what's entailed in wearing
That's,
that hat. And it's not your
yeah.
fault. Like, just you didn't take a class in
Yeah.
any, probably anywhere. I don't even know when you got your MBA. Did you take a class on creating systems? Whole different world. And especially because you are, in a lot of cases, especially when you start your business, it's just you. And so you have all these big learning curves, whether it's your bookkeeping or setting up your SOPs, or just like you said, figuring out what is your customer's journey and how do
Yeah.
I communicate my message brand. There's so much going on. So for all of you who are listening and you keep hearing systems and you're thinking, I don't know what that is, definitely reach out to Mark because none of us were taught that. And so if he can hold your hand and help you figure out what systems you need to create, that can change everything for you.
Any help that I can provide, because I know the experience myself, the pain of that, the need for that outside in view on things. Yeah, so systems to me, I like to say systems don't kill creativity because that's usually the knock against them. And so they're going to take the heart out of my business, or I'm going to stop doing personally by hand what I think my customers love or clients love. But I think systems don't kill creativity, they protect it from chaos. And
I
so
agree.
they free up room for us to keep building and reinventing the business.
Hey, this is a quick interruption. This episode is actually sponsored by the Profit Clarity Masterclass. If tax season makes your stomach drop, you're not alone. But it doesn't have to stay that way. Join us for a free live masterclass where we're going to talk about reducing stress and keeping more of what you earn. Visit lessmathmoremoney.com to sign up today.
Yeah, Kirsten always says that if it's something that has at least three steps and you do it at least three times, it has to have a system.
Like
So that's
that.
a really simple kind of way to think about it. I
Really
always did
good.
systems naturally because I would forget things. If I wasn't doing it every day or every week, I'd forget a step and that would be a really important step. So for me,
Yeah.
I just naturally put them together because I needed to for myself.
And I didn't
Yeah.
create that 333 thing. I read it somewhere and it is brilliant, but it's something we just don't think about, documenting what we do, how we do it, when we do it.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't come natural. And I'll have a confession because I made this confession in our mastermind meeting yesterday. We do have fantastic systems, and I am the worst at falling off the wagon, like a healthy eating plan or whatever. You
Yeah.
do really well for a couple of months and then you fall off the wagon.
Yeah.
So for those of you who have systems in place and you're not using them, I think also acknowledge that's normal, but you can check yourself and then recommit to getting in there and using those systems and testing them. If something's not working in the system, then tweak it and change it so that it does work. I think our systems are pretty dialed in, the ones that I'm talking about where I fall off the wagon. So it's a me problem, not a system problem. Acknowledging that we're human and I know how much more smoothly things go when I follow through with our systems, but I don't always do that. That's
Yeah.
one of my commitments in my mastermind group on Monday is
Nice.
getting back on track with my systems.
I think too, the reality is that you do have to slow down and make the investment in it. When you start a system, it takes more effort than if you were to just do it, just take care of this. But if you discipline yourself with a system that will scale, then you may not see that save time right away because you're busy implementing the system, staying consistent with it, pulling up the spreadsheet or whatever when all you had to do is make a quick phone call, but staying consistent, the long-term benefit, the long-term play.
And then systems allow you to leverage, don't they? That's your next point, if I'm not mistaken.
That is, systems give you the chance to focus on what's most important, which is people, not tools. Leverage people, not just tools. And that really ties into this idea of starting with your sales funnel. I mean, we talk about it being a sales funnel, but it's not a funnel, it's people. It's people you're building relationships with. And I think that delegation, I think systems, I think clarity, all of this frees us up to put our attention on what's most important, and that's the people, whether it's our own staff or the clients, or even a vendor or somebody that is part of your ecosystem of your business. Because when we are able to focus on people, I think there's an experience people have with our brand, with us, with our business, that creates a positive experience. And none of my business owners intentionally go out and create a negative experience in anyone's life, but they're overwhelmed. They are uncertain. Maybe they're living in a little bit of fear that what if this doesn't work out or this isn't achieving the goals that I had set for it? We all have those pressures. But if we let those pressures overflow, then we create an experience of who our business is that isn't positive. But as we create margin, we can focus on what's most important. And I think then we can leverage people, not just tools. We're really leveraging not people, but we're leveraging what good relationships produce. And that's healthy interactions, clear communication, positive results, all of those things that we're seeking in our businesses.
What are some examples that you would give to people for leveraging other people? So obviously, my mind automatically goes to outsourcing because that's what we do, outsourcing tasks to other people so that you free up your time to focus on what you're really awesome at. But do you think of other ways that people are leveraging people?
Yeah, I think that when we outsource, depending on the degree of distance from our business, if it's outsourced to offshoring, for example, there's not a lot of relationship with that. That's a very transactional. But paying attention to that continuum of that relationship from purely transactional to purely relational, there's some outsourcing we do or some partners that help us with our business where the quality of our relationship with them bears significantly in the value they deliver or the experience that our clients get. And so taking care of those relationships is really important. And so I like to think of that on a continuum. So there's almost a purely relational, like an inside salesperson on your team. That's a relationship you need to take care of and know what motivates them, know what incentivizes them, but also what they personally get out of their contribution. And so I like to think of people in terms of their heroes in their own story. And so, in the same way that I'm trying to express empathy and demonstrate authority to my clients, I want to do the same for my team, whether that's an internal team member or external. And a lot of that does come down to being able to decide where they're at on that continuum. Sometimes we don't treat the closest vendors or closest partners, outsource partners, as well as we should. And sometimes we give too much time to the one that's just transactional. So having wisdom about how central or how key that outsource relationship is to our mission is, I think, an important skill.
I think somebody was talking about connection is going to be the new currency because as AI comes to play, we are all longing for more connection and relationships. And it's interesting because when you think about you use the word leveraging people, it doesn't sound nice, right? It sounds
No,
like,
it
oh,
doesn't.
you're using them, right? That's a terrible
Yeah.
thing. But when you think about leveraging, I think about some of our referral partners who send us clients. They're so trusted when someone needs something we don't do, we can refer it over to them. That is a huge asset to us to know if our client has a problem that is not in our wheelhouse, it's not meant for us to take care of that for them, that we have trusted relationships that we can refer people to. And then that also makes me think about affiliate marketing, whether you are offering someone an opportunity to be affiliate for what you do. Or you're an affiliate partner with someone else, those relationships really are important. And it is about the relationship because one, I'm not going to refer or promote anyone or anything that I don't really believe in. And part of that has to do with how well do I know that person, and how well do I know that company or that their culture. So I think we don't really think about, because again, leveraging people doesn't sound good, but that's what we're talking about, is having real significant relationships so that you can help your clients, you can help your business grow. And ultimately, sometimes you're helping someone else's business grow while you're helping your clients. So relationships are huge.
Yeah, I think the way you said that relationships are the new currency, I like to think about, this is more what I do in my business coaching with executive teams, but talk to them about trust, and that you don't come into the room expecting trust, but you come into the room giving trust. And you do that by being who you really are, your authentic self. And in appropriate ways, you share levels of who you are. If you're on an executive team and you guys are trying to accomplish a great thing in the world, over time, you should know each other in deeper and deeper ways, just because you're developing trust. And then there's trust that's competency based. And my clients find that separating those two is really helpful, because you can address somebody's competency that broke trust, but it's not personal. So look, as a person, but in work, when you let me down like this, my confidence in you, my trust in your ability to deliver on what you're supposed to deliver. And so all of that is about being good at building relationships, stewarding relationships, strengthening relationships. And so I think the point you're making is really good. I think people who are good at building strong relationships will have the competitive edge, the advantage over time.
I love that. So, Mark, thank you for sharing today. We talked about clarity, systems, and leverage. And we do love the story brand, the whole concept and the way that works. So we're grateful for people out there like you who can help other people who don't have their messaging dialed in, simplified or clarified of what they're doing. I know there are people listening who are saying, wow, I love what Mark has to say. I'm 100% there and I'll need help with that. What's the best way for them to reach out to you?
The easiest website to get to is markfey.com. That's just the one that's my name, markfey.com, markfey.com. Also mkfstrategicmarketing.com. That's my business website, but there are links from my personal website to the business. Be happy. I do have a free business assessment that was created by Business Made Simple, and it's really a great tool. It's free. And anyone who would take that assessment, the report is all free for them. And if they reference this podcast, I'd be happy to walk them through a personalized analysis assessment. And that would be, of course, just my pleasure to do.
Oh, that's so generous. Thank you. Getting a report back with, and having someone actually talk to you about what all the results mean and how you could implement those things is really important. So that's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie and Kirsten, for this time. It was really a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure for us to have you. Thanks for joining us today, Mark.
All right. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.